Exodus chapter 12, I desire that we read 14 verses from the beginning of this chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. And now, before we proceed with reading another passage from the scripture, let us bend our knees and unite our hearts in a prayer to the Lord. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we bow down before Thee to worship Thee in our hearts and in our minds, O Heavenly Father, to unite with all the heavenly hosts and with all the faithful ones upon the face of this earth in a worship, in an act of glorifying Thy great and holy name, O God. And yet we know that we of ourselves can do nothing, that there is nothing, O Heavenly Father, that we could add to the glory and majesty of Thy great and holy name, that we cannot, O Heavenly Father, exalt Thy throne higher, for Thou art exalted above all. And we cannot, O Lord God Almighty, make the foundations of Thy heavenly kingdom stronger, for there is no power that could stand against Thee and continue forever. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray for thy guidance, for thy instruction, for thy enlightenment, thy sanctification. Thou, Heavenly Father, make us usable in thy service. Thou make us pure and holy, so that we can offer unto thee an offering of gratitude and praise, an offering of love and adoration, worthy of thy great and holy name. The words from this holy book, the blessed scripture, Thou, Heavenly Father, bless and multiply, fill our hearts and our minds with thy presence and thy guidance, O Lord, and adorn our lips with sincere, hearty praises of thy glorious name, O God. We know, Heavenly Father, that we are far from that perfect example that thou hast given us in Christ, that in him thou hast presented to the mankind the living Bible, the blessed gospel, lived every day, every hour of that brief pilgrimage. Gracious Lord, we do acknowledge before thee that many are our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes. That often, O Lord God Almighty, we see that even our obedience is not quite that. That many times, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we don't even realize that we failed. And yet, because thou art so gracious and so loving, and thou hast not left us in our ignorance, in our sins, in the darkness that has covered the nations, but thou hast called us by the voice of thy holy gospel, and thou hast led us by the example and through the grace of our Redeemer, and thou, Heavenly Father, hast moved our feet step by step, and thou hast led us hand by hand. And when we were weak, helpless and hopeless, thou hast taken us into the arms of thy love and loving fatherly care, and thou hast carried us into thy fold. Gracious Lord, we lift our eyes toward the cross, and we see, O Heavenly Father, the Lamb of God, and from his wounds the blood falling down to the earth to wash away our sins. And we thank thee, O Heavenly Father, for thy great goodness and mercy, for thy sacrifice, the Passover Lamb, for the New Testament sealed by the blood of the Savior, for the redemption of our souls paid with the suffering of the Son of God. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy great goodness and mercy that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage, for the showers of blessings upon our weak souls and our small and feeble hearts. We thank thee, O Lord God Almighty, for that kingdom of heaven whose foundations shall never be shaken, and for thee being the builder of the mansions on high. We praise thee, Lord God Almighty, for thy precious promises and for leading us every day of our pilgrimage. We desire to worship and to adore thee, O Lord, for the river of grace and the multitudes of thy precious gifts, the lasting values from the heavenly treasures that thou art giving to us in this holy word of thine. And relying upon thy goodness and mercy, and knowing, O Lord God Almighty, how great and wonderful is thy love, we pray again, forgive us our many weaknesses, shortcomings and mistakes, misunderstandings, slackness. And thou, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, remove every disobedience, purify every fiber of our inner man. Give us holy thinking, pure spiritual emotions, Christian affections. Make our heart free from vanity and pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes. Make our soul free in Christ, free from bitterness, wrath, envy, and vengeance. And thou, Heavenly Father, make us peaceful, peace-loving, and peacemaking children of thy covenant, that our heart may be a suitable dwelling place of thy Holy Spirit. And thou, Lord God Almighty, dwell in our hearts, illuminate our minds, rule our lives every day, and make us faithful, obedient, and zealous followers of the Savior, that we may, O Heavenly Father, receive that blessing and the privilege and the riches beyond description to walk in that unbroken chain, that long line of thy holy prophets, thy holy apostles, and the martyrs of all ages. That we also may experience, O Lord, the beauty of thy gospel, the beauty of thy holiness, the power of thy Holy Spirit, working in perfect obedience, constant faithfulness, and ever-growing zeal, that we may enjoy the abundance of the grace given to us in Christ, that we may, O Heavenly Father, receive that privilege and that treasure, Lord, of glorifying thy great and holy name. O Lord God Almighty, bless thou thy holy word, and may the voice of thy gospel sound forth, and move thou the heart that thou hast redeemed, and purify and sanctify the souls that thou art preparing for the everlasting heavenly mansion. And thou, Heavenly Father, save the lost and heal the sick. Comfort the sad, strengthen the weak, and raise the dead. That the number of thy children may be full and complete, and none of that precious blood that was dripping down and pouring down to the ground may be shed in vain. For let all thy children, O Lord, be united in Christ and one in the spirit of love and peace, serving thee, worshipping thee in spirit and in truth, rejoicing in thy great salvation and sharing in that peace that passeth human understanding. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, exalt the name of thy Son and glorify thy beloved one in whom thou art well pleased, and make us to grow in his likeness. Gracious Lord, we pray for thy guidance and thy instruction. We pray for thy protection, O Lord. Keep our minds and our hearts alert. We do pray for peace, O Heavenly Father, but also for that joy that will not hold, keep silent, but will, O Heavenly Father, hold the banner of thy truth and walk in the steps of the Savior until thou wilt gather thine redeemed ones in that glorious kingdom to be with thee in endless eternity. Amen. Amen. In our second reading, beloved, I desire that we read Isaiah chapter 53, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. Let us read with the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. What a chapter. Chapter 12 of the book of the prophet Isaiah, prophesying about so many important characteristics of the offering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this chapter 12 in Exodus, after all the plagues and miracles that the Lord did, in the palace of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, there is some serious instability. Fewer and fewer of his ministers, his advisors, his helpers, his captains and officers are supporting Pharaoh in Pharaoh's stubbornness. And more of the Egyptians realize that the land of Egypt is already in ruins, and it's not going to get any better if they will not allow the people of Israel or the children of Israel to go and worship their God. It seemed to me, beloved, that with their fear, the Egyptians, in a way, involuntarily, started worshipping Jehovah also. For all their gods, the gods of Egyptians, were not able to deliver them from the plagues that the Lord has allowed to fall on them. But still, Pharaoh would not allow the Israelites to leave. What is more and more visible, that the Israelites are afraid to leave. In the midst of those plagues, if they just gathered together and left the land of Egypt, I wonder if anyone would go after them immediately. But of course, with God, there are no ifs. And everything was going exactly the way it was appointed to happen and to be done. So, the last day of their slavery is coming, and the day of great exodus is very close. So the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, a new era just about to start. It shall be the first month of the year to you. We remember the words of our Lord that the one that cometh through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And everyone that would try to go over the wall or in any other, through any other place other than through the door, through the shepherd, into the fold, is a thief and a robber. Now, we might think that thieves so often steal away from them the best of their life, and the robbers rob themselves from the goods that God has given in this word of God. This month shall be unto you the beginning of the month. No one can start serving the Lord before he believed the Lord. And everyone's spiritual experience starts from the beginning. It is an important thing, beloved, that we remember how we believed, what really happened, and that what happened was that real and true. But in any case, it is important that we start from the beginning, and when we read the Word of God, we know what the beginning is. The teaching of John the Baptist and the early sermons of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. So they were to speak to every congregation, to all the congregation of Israel, to every household, that in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man, every family, the head of the household will choose a lamb for an house. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. We see that this lamb was to be chosen from among the sheep or goats that were supposed to be and were, according to the law, clean animals, indicating that our Lord and Savior is going to come according to the flesh from the seed of Abraham and from among the children of Israel. Our Lord and Savior was not born in Sidon, and his mother was not a woman of the Canaanitish women. Both John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus were born among God's people and raised by godly people. And then, at the precise time, our Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb for all that ever will be or ever have been saved, is going to be slain. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now the children of Israel are still in slavery. They are still in the homes where they lived as slaves and served Egyptians. The blood of the lamb will be applied to the both sides and the upper post of their doors, and through the blood of the lamb they will leave their habitation of slavery and start walking on the way toward their salvation, toward the promised land. The blood was not to be trodden upon, but through the blood they will go out from the slavery and walk toward the covenant with God. Now they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. We remember one name that was rather very popular and often used in Israel, the name of Mary, the mother of the Lord. The same name that the sister of Moses had. Just through the centuries, the name was somewhat changed in pronunciation. As the language changed also, and some of the words lost the original meaning and received new meaning and so on. We remember when the children of Israel came to a place on their journey, and they were thirsty and there was plenty of water, but the water was bitter, and they called that place Mara, which is the same word as Mary in English. So here they are given a commandment to we remember when Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth, the Moabitess woman, came back to Bethlehem from the land of Moab, and the whole place was moved, saying, "Is this Naomi?" Because Naomi means a joyful name. And Naomi said, "Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara or Mary. For the Lord gave me a lot of bitterness." So they were to eat this bread, this flesh of the lamb, roast with fire, indicating that deep suffering of our Lord on the cross, not only physical suffering in the flesh, but much more, much deeper, more bitter, and beyond description agonizing suffering of his soul, as he accepted the judgment, the punishment for our sins. The flesh was to be roasted with fire, to be eaten that night. For no one of us will ever, as long as we live in this flesh, and as much as we search the Word of God, no one will ever realize how much the Lord suffered for us. No one can measure nor understand the depth of that pain expressed in the few words on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And it seemed that for a moment, a long moment, about 3 hours, as darkness covered the earth, that unbroken, perfect, everlasting unity between the Father and the Son was broken by our sin. And yet we remember the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, "I'm not alone. My Father has never forsaken me." So even in that moment of broken fellowship, unity between the Father and the Son, that unity is manifested more than ever before. The Father is judging our sin by afflicting the Son. And the Son is willing to suffer all of that to fulfill the will of the Father and to save us. I don't think, as much as I would like to explain or say that with the words that would really describe or express what happened, I don't think that anyone will ever be able to do that. At least not on this side of the grave. They will eat that flesh with unleavened bread, which should indicate that the new life in Christ should be unfermented with sin. Those that are called the people of God and that are, through the blood of the Lamb, gone out of darkness and are walking upon the way of salvation, should resist every sin and live in purity. But also, this feast is going to be seasoned with bitter herbs. Often there is sadness in our pilgrimage, but nothing can be as bitter, nothing can be as sad as a heart or a soul that just discovered how sinful he or she is. When we realized that with our sins and our former sinful living, we actually sinned against the Lord God, our Creator and our Savior. And when we first tried to turn away from sin and live in harmony with the Word of God, and we realize that we are not able to do that, and we try and fail and try again and fail again, and when that struggle started, there was a great bitterness of our soul, for in ourselves we were helpless and hopeless. And yet, that bitterness, along with feeding our soul upon the bread of life, upon the flesh of the Lamb of God, prepared to that fire of His suffering. And as we strove to serve the Lord, to obey Him, that bitterness, that awareness of our helplessness and worthlessness did help us to cry to the Lord and to open our heart and mind to hear Him and to obey Him. We see here that this Lamb of God was not to be eaten raw. No one should enter into the covenant with the Lord by words alone, without understanding the meaning, without experiencing the essence of that change, moving from sin to righteousness, from darkness to the light of the knowledge of His will. The Word of God should not be diluted with human excuses, self-justification, or any other teaching which would be unclean water mixed with the pure teaching of the gospel. This sacrifice of the Lamb, the Passover Lamb, should not be sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. But now, something that might be very difficult for anyone who has not forsaken just everything and all, to accept and to embrace the Word of God in its fullness. His head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, all to be eaten. Nothing to be left out. There is just nothing in the whole gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that our Lord instructed us to do, to obey, to follow, and to keep. Just nothing that should be left out. And nothing that should be qualified or disqualified as a verse or a passage or a commandment that is not for us, but for somebody else. That is, if we are to forsake the former living and through the Lamb of God enter and walk upon the way of salvation. We remember the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how he said about a man that was looking for a very precious pearl, and he found a whole field, and the pearl was hidden in the field, and the man purchased that whole field. The fellowship and the unity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ involves many other things that we otherwise would never choose for us. Suffering. And sometimes bereavement. Being despised and rejected. And yet, through the suffering, through the rejection, we grow in our unity with the Lord. And then we read in the verse number 10 that nothing shall be left, all of that should be eaten that night. Nothing at all should be left until the morning. You see, for us, today is the day of grace. Today we share of the Passover Lamb. Today we share not only the service of that communion. Today we share of the unity of the Spirit of Christ. The next day is the day of His coming. And if we leave anything that we should do today in obedience, in faithfulness, in full uniting with the Lord, if we leave anything for that next day, that day might be the day of judgment. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, they didn't eat bones. That which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. That also had a practical implication. And that is that they would not throw away or trash the bones of that sacrifice. They burn. And in doing so, they showed great respect for that sacrifice. So burning something with fire is not necessarily desecration, it also can be respect and honor. And then we read that thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The Lord said in that story about servants or stewards that blessed are those whom he shall find with their loins girded and they themselves busy in doing their master's will, that at any moment when he comes, the moment he knocked at the door, they open the door, for they are ready. The loins of our mind should be girded with truth, and our feet should be protected with the gospel of peace. Our staff will be in our hand. We should lean hard on His help, His guidance, His protection, also His discipline, His order. And we should serve the Lord not in slackness, not hesitating, but in haste. As Paul the Apostle said, I'm running. Running to be first. Not in boasting, not in pride, not in competition, but in good example. It is the Lord's Passover. The Lord is passing over the homes that are marked with the blood of the Passover lamb, and His people are passing over from slavery to freedom. And then He says that He will pass through the land of Egypt, that black, dark land, during that night. You see, this world of sin and evil is in the night all the time, and during that night the Lord is passing through and smiting all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And doing that, the Lord is executing a judgment against all the gods of the Egyptians, against everything that is being idolized in this world. The Lord is executing judgment. You see, the people that worship honor, and they will do everything just to earn more honor. How often that idol crumbled down in dust, and all the honor is lost in disgrace, even among the people of their kind. The people that worship wealth, often see their own bankruptcy. The people that worship physical health, and they will do just about anything to appear attractive or remarkable, outstanding. How often some of them died just doing that, trying to appear something great in their flesh, physically. All that is most respected and most desired in this world, the Lord our God, during that night of human sin, often has stricken down. And that's so good when that happened to us before we know the Lord, to reveal to us how insecure and unsafe is every human being, seeking pleasure and joy in sin. But the blood shall be to God's people for a token upon the homes where they are. And when the Lord see the blood, he will pass over, and the plague shall not be upon his people to destroy them when he smite the land of Egypt or the world of sin. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Once we are in Christ, once we are washed from our sins by the blood of the Savior, the Redeemer, we should never return back to sin. We should live according to that new ordinance, living in Christ, growing in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, when that true Passover lamb came and proclaimed the will of his Father in simplicity, in truth, in clearness, as no one ever did, many people flocked around him and listened to his speech. And we hear his voice, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." We remember, I think that was on that last day of a great feast, that our Lord proclaimed these words at the door of the temple. And then finally, after so many good deeds and wonderful sermons, our Lord is going to reveal or demonstrate, show what that Passover lamb really means. He's going to be crucified, he's going to suffer, and some of that is given to us in this chapter 53. The time is rather expired, and I hope we might have some time and look into this chapter and labor to understand the meaning of these verses. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him, he before him, as a tender plant. The child Jesus grew up before God as a tender plant. And so is everyone that started that new life, believing in Christ. But then it says, as a root out of a dry ground. What was the dry ground, beloved? Was it the land of Israel that did not hear the voice of God for so many years? Or was it the word of God that was neglected and forsaken? Or was it their faith What was the dry ground that one growing out of as a root of a dry ground? Well, we see, beloved, that in the dry season here, many plants are withered and dry, and some get burned up. And so was the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. But we also see when the first major rainfall come, how from the roots that seemed to be dry, or at least we couldn't see any signs of life, new offsprings grow up. And it's remarkable how quickly some plants can grow when there is moisture. And so, when the time came for our Lord and Savior to appear, when the time came for his suffering, even though that the nation of Israel looked like sheep without shepherd, the old promises of God given to the fathers were precisely and abundantly fulfilled. I think that for the moment I will have to close this book because the time is so limited, and I'm also quite limited in my ability or inability to say more in a short period of time. But may the Lord bless his word and multiply it in our hearts and minds, that we receive each one according to the needs of our souls and according to the abundance of God's goodness and mercy. And that this word of God may be powerful and fruitful in our lives, honoring, serving and worshiping the Lord as long as we live. Amen.